Blog Talk Radio.
Coming to you live, straight from the whipping up a poetic fusion of life, love, laughter, inspiration, motivation, education, and mental stimulation. With a cherry on top, with our weekly hot topics on everyday relations, welcome to Poetic Energy Blog Talk Radio. With your host, your Poetic Energy herself, bringing the electric current with her own poetic flow, weekly featured guests, and open mic segments. She promises to keep the current and the waves live at all times. Here on Poetic Energy Blog Talk Radio. Poetic Energy Blog Talk Radio. The number to chime in and express yourself is 917-932-8881. That's 917-932-8881. Non-U.S. listeners, dial 1-877-218-1183. That's 1-877-218-1183.
Well, good evening, Detroit, and all our global listeners. This is Miss Poetic Energy, a.k.a. Michelle E. Alfred, who happens to be the network owner of the Poetic Energy Network Station. And we have a very special guest this evening that I am so honored to have even graced our airwaves this evening. I know you guys have really been highly anticipating him coming onto the show. Let me tell you a little bit about Bottom. He is the CEO of Smart Music Entertainment. He is, you know, he's educating the community out there, our children. He's a hip-hop recording artist. His name is Larry Lake Henderson, and he's just really putting it out there real hard and real strong and really kicking conscious messages in the music out there, which is so much needed in the music industry today. I am just so hyped up for him even coming on to the show. I guess you can tell the excitement in my voice, but, you know, I really, really want to give him a hearty, hearty welcome to the show because he's doing it big and he just has some great, great music that he's playing out there. Had an opportunity to listen to some of the tunes, and we'll be sharing some of that with you guys this evening while he's on air. And if you want to call in and ask him a couple questions, feel free at 917-932-8881. But without further ado, we're going to bring in Mr. Hip Hop Educator himself, the CEO, co-CEO of Smart Music Entertainment, none other than Mr. Larry Lack Henderson. Hello, Larry. How are you this evening?
I'm good. How about yourself?
I'm great and hyped up that you're on the show tonight.
Cool. You know, thank you for the wonderful introduction. You know, it was excellent. I appreciate that.
Oh, you're quite welcome. You know, so many people have been highly anticipating you coming on to the show. I shared your video of the Congresswoman on YouTube that you have, so we are going to talk about that this evening. But I just want to get Ireland. We do have some callers in on the switchboard that's hanging out with us, so
okay.
You know, let's give them an earful and let them know a little bit about who you are as an artist and a CEO of, you know, just let them know everything.
Well, you know, this is Larry Lock Henderson. I'm the CEO of Smart Music Entertainment. I'm also the artist on Smart Music Entertainment, or one of them. We just put out the new educational hip-hop album, Lesson 1, Hip-Hop and Education. And basically, you know, I'm here to talk about any questions that you might have about the album and any other subjects that we can get into.
All right. Well, you tell us how you got it started in the music industry. You know, our listeners like to know, get some history on our guests.
I mean, you know, I started rhyming in, you know, the third or fourth grade. I was that guy banging on the lunch tables and freestyling on the corners with my friends, and I was breakdancing, and, you know, I had the cardboard box out there and, you know, doing the graffiti and all of that types of stuff. That's, you know, my first introduction to hip-hop was the people that I was living next to in my community at that particular point in time in New Brunswick, New Jersey. And then from then it went to hearing artists like, you know, Rakim and Big Daddy Kane and Public Enemy and EPMD and Grandmaster Flash and the Furious Five, and, you know, hearing artists like that and Ice Cube and NWA and just a variety of music from Chubb Rock to you know, everybody that was pretty much in that golden era of hip hop, I'll say, in the '80s. And then I started rhyming even more and just, you know, I'd say perfected the craft that I'm doing now. And I just continued with it. Always rhymed, always got into cyphers, and then started making songs, and then started going into the studio, and here you have it.
Right. So once you got into the studio and things, what made you decide on that? I want to, because with the music that you sent over to the show, it's just like a lot of conscious messages and definitely a lot of just really feeding into the hip hop community, into the minds of our teens, and it's a different style of music with a point. What made you decide that you wanted to start making that type of music that gives a message to our youth?
Well, Smart Music Entertainment came about for a variety of reasons. Number one, I know that we need to do more to educate our young people. You know, we can't just keep saying, you know, we need to do more. We actually have to do something. So we actually created the album keeping that in mind. But we kind of led, you know, to that, to I guess the ability to even do this album was, you know, when I was growing up, you know, I was always kind of in debates and getting into different arguments and getting into to different discussions, and I was also exposed to, you know, different reading materials at a young age. I think one of the first books that I ever read was the narrative tales of the narrative story of Frederick Douglass. I think it's the narrative tales. It's not the autobiography of Frederick Douglass. I always get that title mixed up. But I was in the fourth grade when I was forced to read that book. So from then on, you know, I kind of had this conscious seed planted, and I was also having heavily into the hip-hop scene. And then I got to a certain point where I wanted, you know, to create songs that reflected some of the things that I was learning, and I also wanted to create a tool, something that we can use to be advocates for education and that we can take into different communities and have open dialogue about the importance of education and have kids understand that it is cool to learn. You know, you can listen to hip-hop. You don't necessarily have to just soak in all of the negative material that's being played on the radio and being played, you know, everything that you see on TV. You can, you know, listen to something that's extremely positive, and you can still rock out to it. So all of those factors pushed us into starting this project, and, you know, you kind of have the results with you now.
Right, you know, and I'm glad that you kind of pointed that out, because the reason why I wanted you to expound on that, because a lot of times people don't cater to, in their music, don't cater to the youth. It is just about the making of the money. But with people like yourself really, you know, trying to give a message in the music that you're producing, is very important to reach our youth in a positive way and let them know that, you know, yes, you can do these things and still be positive. You don't have to be negative to, you know, fit in with a certain type of crowd of people. You can be your own person and listen to the type of music that you really can feel and learn from. Mm-hmm. In the music industry, is it something that do you feel like you are, you know, with you guys going this route with your music, does it kind of make you kind of feel like you don't want to continue on in that path, perhaps if the money is not coming as, like they say, it should be, and with different types of industry that, you know, in the music industry, they say that you can't really sell a lot or do a lot with music and make a lot of money from it if you're not hardcore or, you know, just really raw with it. Mm-hmm. Do you have any setbacks of fearing the possibilities of not being able to make money with your music?
Well, I mean, no. And let me explain why. You know what I mean? When we first got into this, the purpose was we're going to create something that we can use to be advocates of education. So when we first got into it, you know, of course we came up with a business plan, but, you know, we knew that there was going to be opposition. Now, there was opposition when we just came up with the idea. You know, it was like, man, listen, that ain't going to work. You know, it's a waste of time and all of this types of stuff. But the purpose was to be advocates of education. The purpose was to actually get into the communities with this product. So the beginning purpose, even though we formed the company and we wanted our business to be successful, you know, we had a point of creating something that was hot that we can use as that particular tool. Now, what has happened, you know, pretty much since October till now is we've been getting so much love. You know, we've been going into the communities. We've been selling more and more units. You know, the feedback that we've gotten from everybody has been unbelievable, you know, from, you know, and it's been all across the world, not just, you know, in the United States. It's been just the craziest response. So as far as, you know, the opportunities that's out there, you know, financially, you know, we're going to we'll make the smartest decisions, you know, when it comes to you know, financing the business and doing things that we need to do in order to continue to be advocates of education. But I'm not concerned about, you know, my main concern is making a hot product. That's what I feel you need to do as an artist. I'm an artist first. And I want to create something that's hot to me, you know what I mean, that I like and that or that I love and that I want to share with the world. Then after that, everything kind of falls after that, you know what I mean? Even if you're the hardest of the hardest, you know what I mean, there's no guarantee that you'll make money, you know what I'm saying? Half the rappers out here, is, you know, they're broke anyway, you know what I mean? So it's not really about your image or this. I think that you have to, as an artist, you got to pour your heart out. You got to come up with the best song or, you know, or music or beat or track. You know, if you're an artist and you're painting pictures through sound, then just come up with the best sound that you possibly can and then let it do what it do. You know what I mean? Let the world receive it how they're going to receive it.
Absolutely. You know what, I wanted to, you know, compel you to expound on your mission, because I love the way you answered that everything else falls in place. You want to create great music with a purpose, and all of the money and everything, but that shows where your heart is and how passionate you are about what you're creating out there. And you know, that's so commendable, and I wanted to make sure people, that point was brought out about your company, about you as a producer of music and things of that nature, because that's important to know those type of things, because there are a lot of people out there producing music, and it's all about the money. And so it kind of takes away a little bit.
Yeah, definitely. As an artist, you want to paint your own personal picture, and you want to have people say, I like that picture that you create as an artist, you know, just from a personal perspective. And I feel you just got to go hard with that. Definitely.
Absolutely, absolutely. Now, your album, Lesson One, Hip Hop and Education, I am really excited about it, just, you know, what I've heard so far. If you don't mind, I want to play a little bit of something for everyone to listen to.
Nah,
and,
I don't mind
get back
at
into
all.
The question. I'm sure, I knew you wouldn't mind. So we're going to play one of your tracks here. You know, one of my favorites is the Congresswoman remix, but we're going to let them hear something else, one of the other ones that you sent in, because it was just a really powerful and very impacting to me. All right, we're going to put the let's try the slavery one.
Okay.
You know, that was pretty conscious piece here. All right, Mr. Larry Lack Henderson with Slavery, y'all.
After Columbus sailed on the ocean blue, by Juan de Cordoba, he was a Spanish merchant. He bought a couple Africans over, then he put them to work in. See, the labor was cheap, grabbing Africans simple. Slaying later, they took 50 to Santo Domingo. In 1518, St. Charles started granting permission and started shipping Africans for the thousands. See, the slaves were strong, but it wasn't a problem. They tricked them, bribed them with gold, and piled them on an Amistad. So they started working, the colonies was formed. Building bridges, digging ditches from night to the early morn. A few Africans rebelled, but the settlers wouldn't hear it. They cut them how to rape them and whip them to break their spirits. Food, they had a little. Clothes, they couldn't wear it. Shelter, one bomb for 100, they had to share it. They snatched them out their homes and forced them into a new country. Slaves had to live making their millions while the Africans hungry. Slaves do or die, they killed them with no compassion. Roots is definitely true, and I'm a star as happens. Snatched them out their homes and forced them into a new country. Slaves had to live making their millions while the Africans hungry. Slaves do or die, they killed them with no compassion. Roots is definitely true, and I'm a star really happy. This is slave at the history to put it in you. With the most slaves, the colony of Virginia. So they would put them up on a big platform and auction people for tobacco, cotton, corn. Your list goes on. I even trade slaves. A matter of fact, they would trade 5 or 6 Bow Wows for 1 shack. They even bred slaves. Now see, this is crazy, which means they forced the slave women to go produce babies. So if the slaves died or ran away, they wouldn't panic, cause they can get more without selling ships across the Atlantic. They had no rights, no nothing. That was evident. We know them hands that pick cotton can't pick the presidents. And they would stay dreaming of up north life, sweating in them cotton fields the size of the turnpike. The slaves were tortured, and millions didn't make it. And this went on for hundreds of years before they were emancipated. Smashed them out their homes and forced them into a new country. Slaves had to live making their millions while the Africans hungry. Slaves do or die, they killed them with no compassion. Roots is definitely true, and I'm a star really happy. Smashed them out their homes and forced them into a new country. Slaves had to live making their millions while the Africans hungry. Slaves do or die, they killed them with no compassion. Roots is definitely true, yo, and I'm a star really happy.
Just to put us in chains across the Middle Passage. Separated our fam, had us calling them masses. Raped our women, treat our grown men like little kids. While you say your man is your boy and you in a crib. Made it illegal to read and hear plain truth. Had us hanging from trees like we were strange fruit. Sent the mob out whenever we show progress. Burned down the Black Wall Street and murdered our kids. 3/5 man is how they would describe us. Slaves made no wages, how they deprived us. Robbed us, confining us to ghettos and the projects. Put us in the back, but now gotta acknowledge us. We coming up like weeds on an urban lawn. Hip hop is mainstream, so you know it's on. The first, the last shall be relevant. And what's realer than the first Black president?
They snatched them out their homes and forced them into a new country. Slaves had to live making their millions while the Africans hungry. Slaves do or die, they killed them with no compassion. Roots is definitely true, and I'm a star really happy. Snatched them out their homes and forced them into a new country. Slaves had to live making their millions while the Africans hungry. Slaves do or die, they killed them with no compassion. Roots is definitely true, and I'm a star really happy. This is slavery.
All right, welcome back, Detroit, and all our global listeners. You're tuned in to the Poetic Energy Network station with your host, Miss Poetic Energy, a.k.a. Michelle E. Alford. And we are live in the evening time with Mr. Larry Lack Henderson, CEO of Smart Music Entertainment. Welcome back, Larry.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
No, you're quite welcome. I so enjoyed that track, and I really, really want you to kind of tell us a little bit about the creation of that, and you know, why you felt the need to produce that.
Well, first of all, that was Slavery. My man Derek Ellison, Derek D Rock Ellison, came up with the beat. Artist affiliated with Smart Music Entertainment, Curtis Young Nice Gladden was on the first two verses, and then that was me on the last verse. Basically, with this album, you know, there's so many things that we wanted to, you know, touch on. There's so many more subjects that we're even going to get into after lesson one. But as far as the slavery, you know, that's something that's near and dear to the African-American community, you know, and there's not enough said about it. You know, we couldn't possibly put all of the informations and all of the effects of slavery into that song within a 3 to 5 minute time span, but I definitely just wanted to highlight, you know, some certain specific points so that, you know, kids that aren't, you know, introduced to that or well-versed in that can at least get exposed to that type of information, can get exposed to a more intimate side of that story. With some of the things that we was laying out. And it's just information that everybody needs to know, not even the African-American community, because slavery wasn't a Black thing. It was an American thing. So that's American history. It's not even like a Black song. But, you know, we definitely wanted to just touch on a couple of things, you know, that impacted us, you know, as a nation.
Absolutely. I really enjoyed that piece because it did highlight a lot of things, you know, in history that our children do not pay attention to. And like you said, it's not just a black thing. It's an American thing. And our history affected anything that happened before time, before now, affected everyone in some kind of way.
Definitely.
Larry, I do have a question. Someone just inboxed me a question from Facebook. I guess they're having problems with getting into the chat room here.
Okay.
We have a chat room here. Okay, this question comes from Trina.
Mm.
Oh, this is pretty heavy now. I guess it's someone on the subject because your music is supposed to impact young people. With the recent incident that happened in the city of Detroit where a 14-year-old murdered his mom, how do you think your music can influence young people to have a different mindset toward their elders officials? I'm thinking this, she means official. So we'll just try to help her question out. She's asking the question. There was a recent incident in the city of Detroit where a young man murdered his mom. He was 14 years old. And she's basically asking the question, how can your music influence our young people to have a different mindset and go back to the respect that our nation once knew with regards to young people respecting their elders, their parents, and, you know, higher officials?
Okay. First of all, you know, the being an advocate of education is a part of a bigger picture. You know, I'm saying that, you know, our kids, we have to re-educate them because we're moving away from education. However, you know, and specifically to this question, this is just a piece to the puzzle. There's a lot of things that we have to do outside of just putting out more positive energy and also, you know, bringing more light to education and the educational system. You know, we also got to cut down on the liquor stores, you know what I'm saying? We also got to, you know, worry about the single-parent households. We also got to worry about the gang violence. We also got to worry about the drug usage. We also got to worry about things like, you know, prostitution and all of the other factors that influence these kids as they just walk maybe from their home to school. You know, all of the negative influences that they're bombarded with. So, you know, this music is saying, okay, here's something that's just more positive that I'm just putting a broccoli into the system. You know what I mean? But there's still other food on the plate. There's still more food on the plate. There's still a lot more issues that we have to combat. So this, you know, being an advocate for education, we play this part, we play this role, and hopefully, you know, it could begin to contribute to a much more positive upliftment of a young man's or a young woman's mentality. But, you know, I'm not going to, you know what I'm saying, this is not going to do it alone. You know what I mean? If I sat here and said that, you know, that wouldn't be entirely truthful, not to my knowledge. You know, this album, it's not going to just be the one thing that changes the mentality of a child completely, but I definitely think, you know, having more positive things in their life, such as music, you know what I mean, can have a person step in the right direction, even if it's only one step. So, you know, number one, shout out to the Detroit community. I actually didn't hear about that incident. You know, and I follow the news and I try to stay up on things like that. So, you know, I know if we've been extra busy, I just might have missed it. But, you know, shout out to that family, and I hope everybody's doing well. And, you know, that sounds like a completely crazy situation. And, you know, the album is probably needed in that area, you know what I'm saying, just to have something a little bit more positive to listen to that's educational and hardcore that you can rock out to. But it takes a village to raise a child. And, you know, this is just one household in that village.
Absolutely. Well, Miss Trina, I hope that you can still call in. I think that Larry did justice with answering your question, and I hope you feel the same. You still can call in at 917-932-8881. Don't be shy. We'll welcome you with open arms. But that was a pretty heavy question, and I'm glad that you answered it in such a manner, Larry, with a great delivery of dignity and really just really showing compassion in your words. I just too became a little bit familiar with the story. I think that happened yesterday sometime, so I'm not really up on the entire story, but I did hear about that. And I think that that question, if I may, you know, try to speak for her in some manner, a lot of times the reason why that question could have come is because so many people feel that music is the thing that's controlling our children today, and music is what our children respond to. So I'm thinking or trying to guess that, you know, that's where that question was coming from.
Definitely. I hear that a lot, you know, and I'm asked that, you know, a lot as far as music, you know, influencing children and things of that nature, and I always, you know, just want people to understand that if you're listening to somebody's lyrics, you're probably listening to a snapshot of something that's going on in their community. You know, if somebody's, you know, speaking negatively, then that's, you know, that's probably what they're surrounded by. And we, you know, until we just go into the community and change the community and change the things that affect the people living, you know, in our communities, then we can't expect to hear a different message. You know what I mean? We got to go to the root of the tree before we expect the leaves to be different.
Absolutely. Wow. You're coming with some straight up profoundness tonight. I love that. I can't even come back and respond on that, but you know, enough said. Absolutely. Yeah, that, you know, it's just amazing how you get a different feel. You know, I've interviewed, you know, several different types of people from different industries, and you can actually feel the truth come from a person's lips and their words, and you can kind of tell exactly where they come from and if they really are all about what they're, you know, preaching about. And in your music, I really just, you know, kind of related to a lot of things and understood and went back to my teenage years and said, hey, we could have used something like this back then that could have prepared or, you know, helped set the mindset for some of the youth today. I'm going to play another one of your tracks because, you know, a lot of our young women are not, you know, they're seen in a different light and they're not really expressing themselves in a certain, you know, really respecting themselves as they should as women, and how they're not really looking at how powerful they can be as women. And when I heard this Congresswoman, I just like, wow, I kind of had to replay it all over again.
Thank you very much.
Because it was just very impacting. And, yes, I'm definitely going to make sure that we play it and keep it in rotation here on our station because I know a lot of youth can benefit from hearing it. So if you don't mind, I want to play that track before our interview closes.
Oh, yeah. I don't mind at all. You know, I'd love to play it, definitely.
Black women in Congress, stand up. Black women in the Senate, we salute. All women in politics, stand up. Without y'all, there could be no us, and we salute.
It's dedicated to the women, man. The first black woman in Congress, Shirley Chisholm, man. Unbought, unbossed, that's how she got it in. 1972, she even ran for president. The 91st Congress in 69. New York's 12th district, ahead of her time, ahead of her line. But next, less acknowledge far, but sure, and out of Houston, Texas, it's just courage with the power that describes the soul. I so elected to the House of Representatives in 72. Yvonne Burke was elected in that same year, and before that, she has served as the vice chair of the Democratic National Convention. I can't forget to mention a Chicago politician, but East College here served 23, the most powerful black woman in Congress history.
I feel you hit my sisters.
Black women in Congress, stand up. Black women in the Senate, we salute. All women in politics, stand up. Without God, there could be no us, and we salute. We pay homage to MLK, but if not for Katie Hart, it wouldn't be a King Holiday. And Maxine Waters, the voice of South Central, she combated the racism, defending black people. A soldier fighting at equality war, shining light on a dark party wanna ignore. She was elected into Congress in 91, well supported by the hood, and she looked out for the young. A black queen and a force in a political game. We lack dreams, soul searching for a spiritual change. Gotta know about the woman representing the pain, like Barbara Rose Collins pointing out the black male strain.
I feel you hit my sisters.
Black women in Congress, stand up. Black women in the Senate, we salute. All women in politics, stand up. Without y'all, there could be no us.
1992 was the year of the woman, doing a lot of things a lot of men thought they couldn't. It was Maxine Waters and Barbara Rose Collins and the delegate Eleanor Holmes Norton. Three black women then elected to Congress. A lot of hating going on, but nobody could stop this powerful black movement. Damn, not finished. Cal Mosley Brown was elected to the Senate. The first black woman to do that, inspiring a whole generation of the young women who lack role models. Now we got a better tomorrow. Plus the list grew. In the years that followed, it was Corinne Brown and Carrie Lee, Cynthia Ann McKinney, Sheila Jackson Lee, and Eva Clayton and Eddie Bernice Johnson. Black women elected to the House of Congress.
I feel you hit my sisters.
Black women in Congress, stand up. Black women in the Senate, we salute. All women in politics, stand up. Without y'all, there could be no us, and we salute.
Detroit and all our global listeners, this is the Poetic Energy Network station, and I'm your host, Ms. Poetic Energy, and we're on with our very special guest this evening, Mr. Larry Locke Henderson, the CEO of Smart Music Entertainment. Welcome back, Larry. Are you still there, Larry?
I'm sorry. Can you hear me?
Okay, now I can hear you.
Thank you for having me. It's a pleasure.
I am so, you know, I was really anticipating playing that song.
Cool.
I know you're
cool.
Speaking about a lot of women in Congress, but, you know, it really is a song for all women who has made a difference and carved a way for the next generation. And I there is a lesson to be learned, because a lot of the information put into preparing that song you know, a lot of our kids are not privy to who these people are that you speak of. And so you are definitely given a lesson in your music, and I really appreciated that because I feel like it's a very empowering piece because here you as a young man paying homage to women and respecting women in your music because we do have a lot where, you know, women are not respected.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, I really appreciated that particular piece. And plus you can still rock to it as well.
yeah, definitely. That's, you know, I mean, thank you for, you know, playing it. You know, it's definitely stations like this that give us an outlet and give us a voice. And, you know, thank you for that. And then, like you said, you know, we made this song because when you hear about black women on a political level, it's usually being brought to the forefront because it's something negative. So, you know, we wanted to, number one, you know, talk about the pioneers of the African-American ladies or women that you know, just was at the spearhead of the whole political movement with black women getting involved in politics, with Shirley Chisholm being the first black woman elected into Congress and then running for president. You know, these were powerful things that were done. So, you know, we just wanted to highlight, and we, of course, we didn't mention all the ladies, and you know what I mean? It would be a much longer song and all of the contributions, but at least it's a highlight.
Yeah, absolutely. That's what's important. And plus, you still got more lessons to teach. So, you know, I'm sure it'll come up again.
Oh, yeah,
somebody's nudging at me. Okay, we always ask this question, our listening audience. But someone wants to know where to get the track at. So we always ask that question, you know, nearing the end of the show. But you might as well tell the people exactly where to purchase your music, how they can reach out and touch you as well.
Okay. Well, you know, you can get the music from a couple places. Number one, smarthiphopmusic.blogspot.com, which is the website. You can get it from there. You can also go to iTunes, put in Lesson 1, Hip Hop and Education. You can get it from Amazon. You can get it from CD Baby, Napster, Rhapsody, other major digital distributors. We're probably on there. You can contact us at smarthiphopmusic@gmail.com. You can contact us at Twitter with Smart Hip Hop, on Facebook at Smart Music Entertainment. You can look at a couple of videos on YouTube at Smart Hip Hop Music. And once again, the website is smarthiphopmusic.blogspot.com. And go to iTunes, look it up. Lock, Lesson 1, Hip Hop and Education. We there.
All right. We definitely, you know, we were going to, you know, have, it seems like the hour is just, the time just flies by, but we want to just definitely make mention of the YouTube video that, can you speak on that a little bit and what that has afforded, the opportunity that has brought to you?
The YouTube videos?
Yes.
Yeah, they, you know, we did one for Slavery, Kings and Queens, Cash Flow. And when we first did the videos, you know, we use these videos in our workshops that we do. I'll give a performance while we're showing the video so that the kids can get a visual of what we're trying to say and what we're about to discuss. And we just use them as advertising pieces. You know, I worked on them. My wife, Kenya, worked on them. And we just kind of we put everything together. And like I said, we do use them in the workshops, you know, depending on what type of workshop we're doing, but that's the main purpose. But, you know, it's been receiving a lot of love. The song, the Invent video that we had up about black inventors, we've gotten a lot of comments, some negatives, most of them very positive. But, you know, it's definitely advertising and promotions and tools that we also use to continue to push the message of the importance of education.
Absolutely. I just kind of wanted you to mention that YouTube because I didn't have an opportunity
Facebook. The channel is Smart Hip Hop Music. If you go to YouTube, you can type that in one word, Smart Hip Hop Music, and you know you'll get an opportunity to see the stuff that we're putting up, and we have a lot more coming.
Absolutely. Well, you know what? This is, you know, I want to, before we wrap up the show, I just want to say that, you know, this is definitely music that is just very, very rich and very powerful just by the message alone, and to have your heart match with what you're trying to preach out there. And I use the word preach because you're sharing words and trying to make a difference in the community. And that's very commendable, because it's just not enough people doing their part with their creative abilities, you know, because the music does influence our young people. And if we have somebody like yourself and your team putting music out there to help, you know, somewhat kind of cultivate their minds and helping them to go in a different direction, you know, I'm all on board with it, and I'm sure a lot of parents would be as well. So I tip my hat off to you. I do my little curtsy before you. And just, you know, thank you for producing such great, great music. I've just really enjoyed everything that I've heard thus far. Before we end the show, would there be any last parting encouraging words that you would say to a young person that wants to get into the music industry and just trying to find their way or their path on how to do that?
Well, you know, I'm still doing it. You know, I'm still trying to find that path. But I would say, you know, I think the most important thing is to stay true to your sound, you know, stay true to who you are, and say exactly what you want to say. Because as an artist, the thing that sticks out the most is your uniqueness. It's what you bring to the table. It's not imitating something else or someone else's style or swag or flow or, you know, whatever it is that you want to call it. Stay true to your own, you know, stay true to your sound, put your heart into it, and then take it from there. You know, that's the and believe in yourself. You know, especially if you're trying to get into the music business and you got your songs and things of that nature, there's going to be critics, that there are going to be people around you that just genuinely don't think what you're doing is going to work. You know what I mean? So just stay true to you, believe in yourself, and take it as far as you want to take it.
All right, great advice. Now, are you guys taking on any more artists under your belts, inspiring artists?
Oh, you know, like I said, my man Young Nice, he's definitely affiliated with Smart Music in a major way. And there's a lot of artists that we'll work with, especially on Lesson 2. I want to give a shout-out to the Angels, Inc., also from New Brunswick, New Jersey. My man Red, who's an R&B singer. My sister Lady Lorraine. You know, there's a variety of people that and producers that we'll be working with, you know, just to finalize and add finishing pieces to Lesson 2. You know, I got, you know, we got a lot of work to do. But as far as signing artists and things of that nature, after we push and get to a particular point, then we'll get to that level. But right now, we're just working with anybody that wants to do this kind of music and really want to put out a positive sound. You know, we can do it. We can get together. I'm sure we can make something happen. And producers have been sending me beats from all over the world, and I've been getting in contact with different, you know, rappers and R&B singers and rock and roll groups, and it's been out the woodworks. And then, you know, we're going to come up with some pretty incredible volumes, not only for Lesson 2, but, you know, Lesson 3, 4, 5, and beyond. So, you know, we're definitely going to make it happen. And if there's any artist that's interested in doing this type of music and doing it with us over here at Smart Music Entertainment, then you know, hit me on the email. Let's do it.
All right, you guys heard it. You know, I was going to ask the question, because I know somebody was on the edge of their seat, like, you know, can she ask a question? But we certainly want to thank you, Mr. Henderson, for just stopping in on the Poetic Energy Network station, being our very special featured guest for this evening. You guys, Detroit, and all our global listeners, make sure you go to iTunes, all the places where you can find Mr. Larry Lack Henderson with that Lesson 1 Hip Hop and Education. Make sure you go out and support that. You got all this information. The YouTubes, check them out, because we definitely, this is the point of having radio shows and featured guests, is to go out and support what they're doing. And we want to, you know, have you again come back on in a future time, if you don't mind, because we definitely appreciated you coming on and sharing us, you know, giving us some hope in the music. That's what I'm going to say. Your music gives hope for our generation to come, to have something to, you know, more positive hold to hold on to with regards to music. So, again, my brother, I say thank you for coming on, and we will see you next time. And we're taking this show out with none other than Mr. Larry Lack Henderson, and we're going to go back with my favorite, Miss Congresswoman. Thank you, Detroit.
Black women in Congress, stand up. Black women in the Senate, we salute. All women in politics, stand up. Without y'all, there gon' be no us, and we salute. It's dedicated to the women, man. The first black woman in Congress, Shirley Chisholm, man. Unbought, unbossed, that's how she got it in. 1972, she even ran for president. The 91st Congress in 69. New York's 12th district, ahead of her time, ahead of her line. But next, less acknowledge Barbara Shore and out of Houston, Texas. It's just courage with the power that describes the soul. I was elected to the House of Representatives in 72. Yvonne Burke was elected in that same year, and before that, she has served as the vice chair of the Democratic National Convention. I can't forget to mention a Chicago politician. But East Collins here served 23, the most powerful black woman in Congress history. I feel you hit my sisters. Black women in Congress, stand up. Black women in the Senate, we salute. All women in politics, stand up. Without God, there gon' be no us, and we salute. We pay homage to MLK, but if not for Katie Hart, it wouldn't be a King Holiday. And Maxine Waters, the voice of South Central, she combated the racism, defending black people. A soldier fighting at equality war, shining light on a dark part they wanna ignore. She was elected into Congress in 91, well supported by the hood, and she looked out for the young. A black queen and a force in a political game. We lack dreams, soul searching for a spiritual change. Gotta know about the woman representing the pain, like Barbara Rose Collins pointing out the black male strain. I feel you hit my sisters. Black women in Congress, stand up. Black women in the Senate, we salute. All women in politics, stand up. Without y'all, there gon' be no us.
1992 was the year of the woman. Doing a lot of things a lot of men thought they couldn't. It was Maxine Waters and Barbara Rose Collins and the delegate Eleanor Holmes Norton. Three black women then elected to Congress. A lot of hating going on, but nobody can stop this powerful black movement. Damn, not finished. Cal Mosley Brown was elected to the Senate. The first black woman to do that, inspiring a whole generation of the young women who lack role models. Now we got a better tomorrow. Plus the list grew in the years that followed. It was Corinne Brown and Carrie Lee, Cynthia Ann McKinney, Sheila Jackson Lee, and Eva Clayton and Eddie Bernice Johnson. Black women elected to the House of Congress.
I feel you hit my sisters. Black women in Congress, stand up. Black women in the Senate, we salute. All women in politics, stand up. Without y'all, there gon' be no us, and we salute.